I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go. Father
God, I am from the Lighthouse Chapel International. Apostle Joel Obuobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Presence to hear your word. We pray, Lord, for the Holy Spirit and for his help. We pray for the help of the Holy Spirit. We pray for your guidance and leading and teaching. In Jesus' name we pray. Today we remember our pastor, our founder, our prophet, and his household. That during the season of sad days, Lord, you will be there for them. Stand by them, Lord. Encourage and strengthen them, Lord. And deliver them from this evil in the name of Jesus. And we pray, Lord, that your grace will abound towards them and multiply towards them. Refresh them, strengthen them, Lord. Give them some good things to focus on, to think about. Show them how else you have been good to them. And give them something bright and cheerful to look at in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says, amen. Beautiful. Put your hands together for the Lord and you may be seated. Hallelujah. Right. We're going to have a short service today. Amen. I mean, that means I will preach short, whether you believe it or not. Amen. Because some of you don't believe that I can preach a short sermon. But you'll be surprised. If not today, one of these days. But I think today is the day. Hallelujah. So I think we've gone through most of what there is to say about anakazo. Amen. And the last time we talked about anakazo, we spoke about the practical steps. So if you like, the characteristics of the anakazo man, right? Went through 9 different things. One of them was that the anakazo man prepares a great supper. And 2, that a person who practices anakazo does not keep to himself, but influences and affects many people. Amen. Yes, a person who practices anakazo does not keep to himself, but influences and affects many people. Hallelujah. So we can't be loners if we're going to practice anakazo. We have to be in other people's business. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes, you have to be the one to go out of your way to say hello to someone. Do you get it? Yeah. Now, some people struggle with that. Yeah. Even when someone has said hello to them, they will not even respond. you get it? Yeah. The person says hello, and you will not even respond. So you see, you're a long way from you being the one to say hello. Because even when it's said for you, you will not respond. So you are like all the way in the negative. And from there, you have to pull yourself out and come to zero. You get it? And zero is where you just smile at people who smile at you. You see the thing? But then we want to move further into the positive arena. And that place is where you initiate the conversation. You initiate the interaction. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes, it's important that when we meet people, we say hello. Yes, people in our neighborhoods, people walking their dogs, people we meet at the car wash, vacuuming their cars, people we meet at the grocery stores, people we meet at the barber shops. Where else? Where else we meet people? At the hair salon, right? The nail salon, yes. Do you see? People who are waiting for their turn, who are sitting next to you, people who are doing what? On the airplane, yes, on the airplane. You know, people who come and sit next to you and they're going to be sitting there for 3 hours. 3 hours with you, you see. So, and we're all trapped upstairs. None of us is getting off, do you see? So these are all opportunities for breaking out of your silent zone and relating with people. Amen. Amen. Yes, we must not be afraid of human beings. We must not be afraid of people. Do you get it? Yes. We must, for the sake of the gospel, you are becoming something you are not, so that you can win someone. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's following Jesus exactly, because the Bible says that Jesus became what he was not. He came from heaven. It says, even though he was God, he did not think it robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. That's when you see Jesus without a reputation, that's not the real him. Yeah, I mean, the real Jesus has mega reputation. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, he has a mega reputation. He is not like he seemed, but he became like that for our sakes. And then he says he took upon himself the form of a servant, which means that he was not a servant in that sense, but he took upon himself the appearance of a servant. Do you see? Yes, he took upon himself the appearance of a servant. You want to just show us, oh, right there, okay. But let's start from maybe verse 6. Go back to verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's a way of thinking, isn't it? And he says, it's not something that occurs to you, but it's a mind you allow to be in you. Yeah. Isn't it? Do we not choose our mentality about something? Yes. You think a certain way about something, and you choose to think that way, even sometimes against contrary evidence. You know, but you choose to think this is how you make up your mind that someone doesn't like you. Those are diehard thoughts. You get it? Yes. And they don't die. And the evidence will be pointing in the opposite direction, and you say no. And someone will try to convince you and tell you that, no, it's not like that. You have to relax. No. Me? No. And you have a catalog of proofs, incidents and occasions that support that thought. You see, so not only do you have the thought, but you have backup fuel for the thought. So even when the thought is dying, you just bring some firewood and you just add it. You see the thing? So the thought is ablaze in your mind and it's not about to go out at all. Do you see? Yeah. So in the same way, he says, let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you. So the instruction is to you about how to think, isn't it? Yes. And what is the mind? He says, this mind was also in Christ Jesus. This Jesus did what he did because of a certain mentality. Do you see? Then he says, what is the mind? Verse 6. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Do you see? But in other words, he said that if he says he's equal with God, it's not robbery. Do you see the thing? Yes. But because he was in the form of God. You see? But he says he made himself, yes, he made himself of no reputation. He stripped himself of the God part, isn't it? And took upon himself the form of a servant. You see, so again, you see him as a servant is something he has taken upon himself. The effort to look like a servant comes from him. You see? Yeah. And then he was made in the likeness of men, you see, and then the next verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Do you get it? It's like, as he has successfully carved himself out as a man, then now he went ahead to do what men must do. Do you see? Yeah, it's like when you see some of these cross dressers and so on, when they are found in fashion as a woman, then they proceed to, that's when the hand goes like that. You get it? That's when they do their nails. That's when, you know. So it's because they have been found in fashion as a woman. So now they must do what women do. Does it make sense? Okay. Right? So being found in fashion as a man, he became what? Obedient, isn't it? Unto death. Then it says, even the death of the cross, right? So all of this is not naturally Jesus. That's not him. But he's become that for a purpose. And I'm saying that God expects us also to become a certain way for a purpose. Do you get it? So you may think of yourself as not being so sociable, or think of yourself as being a shy person, or think of yourself as being a private person. Think of yourself as being someone who keeps more to yourself. You know, you like to mind your own business. Do you see? Now, you can do all that and say that is you and that is you. But God is expecting that for the purpose of fulfilling and doing what he has called you to do, he's expecting you to take unto yourself something that you are not. Tori, say amen. Yeah. He's expecting you to take unto yourself something that's not you. Do you get it? And you can be that person. You don't have to be afraid. You can. I mean, can you imagine what it would be like for God to come and wear humanity, put on humanity? Someone who is not used to having a weakness. Because humanity goes with a lot of things. Goes with exhaustion, goes with hunger, you know, goes with being thirsty. Yeah. Yes, it goes with all sorts of things. Not to mention the negativity you attract. Do you see? It's all part of being a human being. When you're a human being, you have human enemies. You get it? Yes. People who want to kill you. People you created who want to kill you. It must take a lot to allow humans to kill you if you're God. It's like you allowing an ant to kill you. people that you can just stamp on like that. And you have to allow them to put you to death. So they will question you and they will ask you a question and you just have to be quiet. Pilate said to Jesus Christ that, don't you realize I have power to kill you and power to keep you alive? Ha! I mean, even that is a temptation. Is it not a temptation? Yes, because when someone you know you can handle threatens to beat you up, I think that it pulls something out of you. Yeah, someone that you know you can deal with. You know, yeah, not this guy. It wouldn't. The other day, there was a situation somewhere where somebody was asking the pastor to allow him to intervene. Yeah, to intervene physically. Not to pray about it, but to deal with it. You know, and the person was telling the pastor that it will be a short fight. That's what he told the pastor. He said, please allow me. It won't be long. It will be a short one. It will be a short fight. Yeah, that's all he wanted, the pastor, to just give him a chance. It will be a short fight, you know. And I can imagine how Jesus felt in front of Pilate. That, look, if I was to take these guys on, it would be a short fight. You see? So the least, Jesus scaled his reaction and response down, 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 down. And he told him that, you know, you would have no power over me except it was given to you. As low as he could go. Just to give him a reminder that there's a little something. There's a little something, but it's temporarily disabled for your sake. Yeah. You would have no power over me except it's been given unto you. Do you not think that I can call upon my Father and he will give me 12 legions of angels? He's talking about basic resources. Basic resources. You get it. Basic resources. You see the thing that he can use if he was to choose to go down that path. You know, it will just sort this whole thing out real fast. You know. So, I want you to know that God, for Jesus to be Jesus was not an easy thing. Do you get it? Yes. It's not easy to have to become something that you're not. But it is possible. Which is why Paul says to us, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Or which strengthens me. Do you understand? Yeah. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Amen. The strength that Christ gives us can strengthen us, can empower and embolden us to become what we have never thought of ourselves to be. I mean, when I was a child, when I was growing up, I never even thought I could ever stand and address anybody in public. Yes. Yeah, because me too, I'm shy. I'm just like Tori. I'm a very shy person. Yeah, you see, you don't believe it. I'm a very shy person. Yes, I used to, anytime that I had to, let's say, speak in front of my class, I would cry. Yeah, but, you know, like the teacher would ask a question and I'm supposed to give the answer. By the time I finish the answer, I'm crying. Yeah. So that's what I knew of myself. Do you get it? Yeah. So this version of me that, you know, preaches and speaks, or that makes you question whether I'm shy, you see, is an empowered, emboldened version. Are you getting the picture? Yes, it's an emboldened version. It's not the real person. Do you get it? But sometimes you can live out the characteristics of the new person for so long that you become used to it, and it seems to become the new you. Do you get it? So we all can become bold. Yes, we can become bold. We can approach people and ask them boldly if they know Jesus Christ. Amen. Yes, we can. We can approach people and ask them what they think about life after death. We can approach people and ask them whether they have considered church at all. Do you do church? How do you spend your weekends? It's a fair question to ask someone. What do you do at the weekends? What do you do on Sundays? Do you see? Yeah. And once they tell you what they do on Sundays, you qualify to tell them what you do on Sundays. Yeah. I go to church. Do you do church? You don't? Really? Why? Do you see? Yes. And then you start going down that path. It's something we can do. Amen. And an acaso person does not keep to himself. Isn't it? Right. Next one. An acaso person is not prepared to cancel his service. Do you get it? That means an acaso person doesn't give up. You know, sometimes instead of feeling discouraged, you can choose to smile. Yeah, you should choose to smile and choose to laugh at the situation and say it is well. Do you get it? You encourage yourself in the Lord and tell yourself, this situation will give up before I give up. Are you getting it? Yes. You reinforce your resolve and tell yourself, I will never give up. Yeah. That I'm saying to you now, devil, I will never give up. Amen. Amen. So an acaso man does not cancel his service, as we saw in the scripture. Then the next one is that an acaso person is not prepared to have an empty meeting. That's what sends him knocking on doors, calling people, and calling and calling and calling, and knowing that the people feel you are a nuisance, but harboring that awkward feeling and still calling. Do you know what I'm talking about? You see that the person has reluctantly picked up your call because there have been too many calls that have not been answered. So as you talk with the person, you can tell that they are more or less tolerating you. But you don't mind being tolerated because you deserve to be tolerated. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, it's okay to be tolerated. It's okay for someone to entertain you for its sake. That, okay, all right, I'll just listen to what you're saying. Yes, that's exactly what you want. And that's what you deserve, because that's what you've been hunting and calling the person for and working on for a long time and calling and calling and calling. So if they are not even happy to speak to you, it's fine. So long as they are speaking to you. Are you getting the picture? Yes, they don't have to be happy to speak to you. But if they do speak to you, you will have a chance to relieve yourself of your message by sharing it. Can I have an amen? Amen. Next one, he's not overcome by people's excuses. Isn't it? Then the next one is that he knows that many excuses are empty. And that's an experienced worker for God must understand and not be shocked by excuses. As you go in, expect an excuse. Amen. Expect an excuse. It's just that you don't give up. So don't be surprised that someone who said, I'm going to go with you to church next Sunday, and when you call on Sunday morning, the person says, I forgot that my laundry has to be done this morning. I have to walk my dog. What, I have to go to the gym. I have to go do shopping. Different things that people say. You shouldn't be surprised. You shouldn't be surprised. Because it takes getting to a certain place in Christ to find being in his presence valuable. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes, it takes being in a certain place in Christ, being mature in him. You know, many people for a long time go to church to please someone. Because someone is asking you to do that. Someone is insisting that you do that. You know, and so you go to church to please the person. But you do get to the place where you now have a relationship with God. And where now going to church is your thing. It's not something you're doing for or on behalf of anyone. It's something you're doing for yourself. Yes, to the point where you begin to feel some discomfort when you stay out of God's house. Are you getting it? Yes. David said in Psalm 27 and verse 4. Psalm 27 and verse 4. It says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. Look at that. He said, one thing have I desired of the Lord. That will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. I mean, look at it. This is somebody's dream. This is his vision. He says, one thing have I desired of the Lord. One thing have I desired of the Lord. I mean, a king like David has multiple things he could desire of the Lord. Do you understand? Yes. One thing have I desired of the Lord. And when you are a king, like you are a head of state, a prime minister, a president of a country, you know, your one thing you desire of the Lord, even anybody can guess what you should be desiring of the Lord. If you are President Zelensky, what is one thing that you desire of the Lord? Yes. And if you are even President Putin, you also have your one thing that you desire of the Lord. Do you see what I'm saying? So when people at that level are having one desire, that one desire is usually not easy or difficult to name. You know what they want. And when a person is a young person, that also is not, it's not difficult to name it. That's how come when Solomon went to pray before the Lord, and Solomon was asking the Lord for wisdom, you know, God was surprised. And God told Solomon that, because you have asked me for this and not that. Do you see? God is the one who named the opposite, showing that this is what God was expecting. When he saw Solomon approaching his throne, you know, he called some of the angels and said, come and see something. Yeah, come and see something. Young man is coming. Yeah, young man, he's coming. The guy already has 1,000 women at his disposal. I don't know what else he's coming to ask for. He's coming to ask for riches, money. Do you see? And so when Solomon started to pray and said, Lord, I'm not looking for riches. I'm not looking for women. I'm not looking for money. God was surprised. And God said, because you asked for this and not this, I'll give you what you asked for and I'll give you that. As a bonus, because I think he had arranged it already. As he saw Solomon coming, he knew what young men asked for. So he had already packaged it. It was ready, you see. And so when Solomon came and he asked for this, he said, you can have it, but this is also here. So you might as well just take it. And he just blessed him with it. And that's a king. He says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Now, when somebody is like this, you don't call them to go to the house of the Lord. They don't need a prompt to go to the house of the Lord. They are on autopilot. They want to live there. They want to live there. He wants to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and to behold the beauty of the Lord. Do you get it? They see a certain beauty of the Lord that is manifest in his house, that they want to be there and also to inquire in his temple. And he said, this is something I want to do on a daily basis. I want to do this every day. See, there's another one in Psalms 84. Wow. Are you getting something out of this? Right. My short sermon. Okay. Still short. Right. He says, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. Now, give me a version that doesn't say amiable. Amiable simply means what? Lovely. You get it? So you can keep it, those of you who are single, if you meet somebody, just say, how amiable. Girl, you are amiable. You are simply amiable. And those who are married, you have to say it when your wife has served you a good meal. Wow! This chicken is amiable. But listen, David said, how lovely is your dwelling place? See, there are people who don't find church lovely. No, they don't see anything lovely about church. They come to church and they are full of one complaint after the other, just unvoiced. Yes, it's just not spoken. You get it? But everything is ugly to them in a church situation. Yeah. They are angry. They can't wait for the preaching to be over. They can't wait for the pastor to stop talking and rumbling and going on and on and on. Listen, are you going to stop or what? Everything else is lovely. But church. But David said, look, how lovely are your dwelling places? Your house is very lovely to me. Many times people are surprised how long a certain kind of person would spend in church. Yes, many of our church members, their relatives and friends are surprised that, what do you do in the church? Why do you go to church in the morning and you come back in the evening? What's going on in the church? It's because we find the place lovely. Lovely. Yeah. It's very common to find our church members, when they are leaving home, they have like two or three pairs of shoes. Yeah. There's always a backup shoe. Yeah. That's for the relaxation time. Yeah. There's the shoe that makes them as tall as Moses. Yeah. Then after that, there's the other one that drops them to their natural levels. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. They would rather prepare to spend the time in the house of the Lord than to be in a hurry to leave. Because it's lovely. It's lovely. You see? Then it says, well, look at the next verse. The next verse, verse 2. It says, I long, yes, I faint with longing to enter the courts of the Lord. Think about it. He said, I long, yes, I faint with longing to enter the courts of the Lord. It's something that propels a person and works in a person that makes a person want to be in the presence of the Lord. Do you get it? And when that thing is not in you, you should pray for it. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, pray for it. Pray for it. Because, you know, our desire to be in the house of the Lord, it's not because we don't have anything to do. Do you get it? Yes, it's not because we don't have anything to do. It's genuine. It's genuine. Yeah. You take a pastor who wants to be in the house of the Lord. I mean, most people prefer to do as little work as they need to do to be paid whatever they are paid. True or false? If your job told you that you only have to come once a month and they'll still pay you whatever they pay you, would you not be happy? Yes? You'd be right here sharing a testimony. And you would say God has been good. Not bad. Good. Yeah. Yes. Even people celebrate just having to work from home. They are celebrating it. Yeah. So God, thank you. It's 100% remote. I'm blessed. Yes. Do you get it? Yes. So when you have people who want you to stay and they come and they stay and so on, I want you to know that it is because there's something. You see, it says, with my whole being, body and soul, I will shout joyfully to the living God. Amen. Amen. Then the next verse, he says, yea, the sparrow hath found a house. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow builds her nest and raises her young at a place near your altar. Do you get it? O Lord of heaven's armies, my King and my God. Hallelujah. He's comparing the house of God to a nest that a swallow has found. Do you see? A place where she can lay her young. That means it's a place of security. You see, there's a little tree just outside my just outside the window in our house, you know, and there was a certain bird that used to come and hatch her babies there. Yeah. And I noticed that it is because nobody went there. It was a secure place for her. No one knew she was hiding there. It just happens that one day, I was just standing somewhere near the window, and I spotted some movement. So I got keen, something with a small head. I actually thought it was a snake. So I sort of went closer, and when I looked, I saw that it was a bird that had made her nest there. Secure. Nobody comes there. Peaceful. You get it? But from that day onwards, I decided to adopt her whole family. Yes. So I used to go there frequently to go and look at it. So I would walk to the window and just see, and it would look at me. I walk to the window and see, and it would look at me. You know, then one day when I came, she had moved. Yeah. Yeah, the whole, she collected her babies. They've gone. You get it? And they've never come back. I thought I had some private wildlife. She moved. Yes. So when it says a bird has found a place, a swallow has found a nest for herself where she may lay her young, and that nest is by the altars, David is saying that that's what the house of the Lord is. It's a place where you lay your young. It's a good place even to raise your children. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, this is the church is a good place for young people. Yes, Ava, Vera, the church is the best place for them. Absolutely, absolutely. Senna and Sedemo and Cara and Lakem and Jean Leon. Yes, all these guys. AJ. Do you see? These people, I tell you, the best place to raise them is right by the altars. Right by the altars. Right by the altars where she may raise her young. Can you see that? Right? The next verse, he says, blessed, verse 4. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. What joy for those who can live in your house, always singing your praises. Amen. Yes. What joy. Then the King James says, show us the King James. Show us the King James. It says, blessed are they that do what? Dwell in thy house. You are a blessed person when you dwell in the house of the Lord. Yeah, you are blessed. That's why when somebody asks, how are you doing? I'm blessed. You are blessed indeed. You are blessed indeed. And the more you confess it, the more it manifests. The more you declare yourself blessed, the more you see actually that you are blessed. Yeah, you will not see it. Being blessed, blessing is like growth. Do you see? You can't easily track it as it happens. Do you get it? Yes, when you're growing, as in you're either putting on weight or losing weight or growing taller or something like that, you don't really see it. You don't wake up in the morning and feel like between yesterday and today, I feel like I have grown taller. No, it doesn't happen that way. Even as you watch your children, but you just look at them suddenly and you say, this person, he's grown up. And blessing is like that. You don't see it happening because it adds to your life and adds itself to your life, you know, in ways that you can't quite track. But before you know it, you realize all of a sudden that when you look at your life, you have been blessed. You see a whole year has gone by. You have never been sick. Yes, you look at your life 5, 10 years. You've never had any serious illness. Yes, never slept in a hospital before, never had any of these type of things, complicated things for which people are in hospitals every day. And you see that you have been blessed. Yes. Sometimes you think of issues that have happened. You've had bills, you've had issues. Yes. But now you look back, all of them are paid. And you are not broke. Yeah. I don't know why you're clapping on that one, but maybe you can relate with that one. But so long as you can relate with something. Do you see what I'm saying? But does anybody know what I'm talking about? Yes, before you know it, the car is paid for, this is paid for, that is paid for, and you still have money at the bank. You are not broke. Because God has blessed. Amen. And he says, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will still be praising thee. Then verse 5, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well, and rain also filleth the pools. Verse 7, they go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. Hallelujah. It says people who appear before God, they go from what? Strength to strength. Yes. It means the further a Christian is from fellowship, the weaker that Christian becomes. Yes, the further you are from fellowship, the weaker you become. Because once you start to, it's like, you know, when I'm coming to church on Sundays, I try to make sure that my iPad has a full charge. And so in the mornings when I'm watching the prophetic encounter service, I like to watch it on my iPad. Yes, you know, I watch it on multiple screens because some of them are for repeat what you said. So I can tell him, say it again, but I also need the service to continue so that I don't miss anything, you see. Yeah. So I'm watching it on my iPad and I'm watching it on my computer screen. But what I do is I keep the iPad plugged in because I don't want to find out when I'm ready to come to church that my battery is low. Do you get it? Yes. So as soon as you unplug the iPad, from that point on, you start to drain the life out of it. And you just have to keep watching and keep watching and keep watching, and you will soon realize that when you need it, life is finished. And that's how we are. When we are unplugged from God, we don't go on for so long. You may survive for a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. But when you really need the strength, you find out that you can't. You don't have it. So the way to go from strength to strength is what he's saying. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. You see people who are still pressing on, who are still riding high. Look at our pastor. Look at prophet. He's still preaching. Even people are surprised that he's able to preach. Yes. And when this news broke out, I think the day before Good Friday, people were surprised that he was preaching. Yes, and after that he's been preaching and and today he's preaching. You get it? And people wonder, where do you get the strength from? Well, there it is. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them appeareth before God. That's where our strength is. Are you getting the picture? Yes. And it says, O Lord of hosts, hear my prayer and give ear. Behold, verse 9, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. Verse 10, for a day in thy courts is better than what? A thousand. You see, remember, it's a mind, though. It's a mind. It's a mind. Let this mind be in you. You get it? Yeah. A day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. This is how David thinks. No wonder he finds the church lovely and finds God's dwelling places lovely. Because to him, a day there is better than a thousand elsewhere. Yeah, one day in the house of God is better to him than 1,000 days dwelling in tents of wickedness. And he would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. Yes, I'd rather be a doorkeeper. You give me some menial job to do in the house of the Lord, I'd rather do it. This is the king. The king says, I'd rather be a doorkeeper. Yeah. That's why the doorkeepers in the church must count themselves privileged. Amen. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to get to do something in the house of the Lord. Yeah. It's a blessing. Those who shy away from responsibility in the house of the Lord, it is rather because you lack a certain understanding. Yes. But if you were to see what David is seeing, you will have a totally different perspective on the house of the Lord. He said, because the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. And no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Amen. Blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Hallelujah. So people don't know these things. And that is why people make excuses for coming into the house of God. Oh, I bought a thing. I have to go and see to it. Oh, today is the only day that I can do this and that. You know, today I feel too tired. Tired? You need to come to church, rather. Yes, because, see, some of the tiredness is not physical. You are really exhausted in your mind and in your spirit. Your soul is weary. That's what it is. Yes. And staying at home is not going to help you. It's not going to help you. You are just going to feel more weariness. Yes. You'll be surprised when you're at home how quickly the time flies. Yeah. How quickly you thought you were going, you know, no, because if I stay at home, I'll be able to rest. Huh? You see the church time is over and you didn't rest. Yes. The devil will have you running after cobwebs and different things in your house. You spend about an hour chasing a rat. Yeah, every time you sit down, you feel some movement. Then you get up and start looking for this rat. And you look everywhere and never find it. And before you know it, you have not rested. You have not rested. You go downstairs and you see all the dishes staring at you. The dishes see you approaching the question and they ask, hey, are you here? If you are here, then we are here. We are also here. You know, yes, so much. Do this, do this, do this. And before you know it, the time is gone. You should have been in church. You really should have been in church. You should have been in church. That's where we get strength. Yeah, that's where we get strength. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them appeareth before God. See someone going from strength to strength, it is because he appears before God. God is the one who recharges us. God is the one who refires us up. God is the one who gives us strength to go on. Do you get it? You by yourself cannot cope with all the challenges all by yourself. No. You need a break. Yes, where you're not staring at issues. Where you're not staring at the things that are harassing you. The same things that are plaguing your life. Where you're not looking at them. You need a break from those things. And you need to focus your attention on something greater than those things. Even if you go back home to them, you will see that you have come back with strength. Do you get it? That's what boxers do. They take a break from the opponent and they go to the corner. And they come back to face the same opponent, but with new strength and renewed ability to confront the issue, and confront the person. And some people come back to knock out the person who is out there. And that's the end of the fight. Everybody needs that break. Nobody can keep fighting on and on and on and on forever. That's why God created the Sabbath. Yes, he says, 6 days shalt thou labor, but on the seventh day you must rest. In it thou shalt do no work. That's what he says. In it thou shalt do no work. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. So to go on and on for 7 days and not make any time for God is a transgression. Yes, it's a transgression. You're killing yourself for nothing. For nothing. For something you would have had anyway. Yes, you'd be surprised that you would have eaten anyway. That you would have driven a car anyway. Yes. That you would have paid your rent anyway. You didn't have to go through all of that. Hallelujah. Anyway, there's more, but I think that I have to keep my promise to prove to you that I can preach short. Hallelujah. So stand to your feet, everybody, and let's bring the service to a close. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Anakazo man, he makes a way and does not give an excuse. He makes a way. And Anakazo man knows that many excuses are lies. That is not true. It's just an excuse. Becomes something that is placed in front of you as the reason why you can or cannot do something. An Anakazo man, number 8, goes out of his normal circles of life. And number 9, an Anakazo man is not satisfied as long as there's still room. Hallelujah. There's still room in the house of God. We cannot be satisfied. We must keep working. We must keep pushing. We must keep fighting. We must keep pressing forward. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. We must keep pressing forward and keep working hard for the Lord until His house is full. Can I have an amen? Close your eyes, everybody, and pray with me. And just say, Lord, I want to be an Anakazo man. I want to be a resilient person. I want to be a relentlessly strong person who is able to press forward. Who is able to continue pushing forward in the name of Jesus until we get the results that we must get for you in the name of Jesus. Everybody pray. Just pray a little bit. Everybody just pray and say, Lord, I want to be that type of person in the name of Jesus. Want to be an Anakazo person in the name of Jesus. Miko Moshandari Alamabaya Dari Alamabasakatana. Mado Sheketani Alamabaya Moshekatani Alamaba. Misiketani Bilibili Bilibishindari Alamaba. Misala Mustele Bilibikatari. In the name of Jesus, help us to value your presence and to see your home, your house, your dwelling place as lovely. Let's call it lovely like David calls it lovely. In the name of Jesus, let no excuse come between us and you. Let no excuse block our interest in your house in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Help us, Lord, in the name of Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. From the bottom to the depths of my soul. Yes, Lord. Completely. Between yourself and God, that distance is real, because the Bible says that our sins separate us from God, and because of that, He can't hear us when we pray. So I want to give you an opportunity this afternoon as we close this service. If you're saying, Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want Jesus to be my friend. I want Him to be my Lord and my Savior. If that is a prayer on your heart this afternoon, I want you to raise up your right hand right where you are, and I'm going to pray with you. Just lift your right hand up and I'll pray for you. You could be home. You may be in your car. You may be watching us online. Wherever you are, just raise up your right hand right now. And I want you to just identify with this prayer and pray this prayer with me. And I believe God is going to hear your prayer and God will save you. Hallelujah. I want you to say with me, and everybody can join them. Say with me, Lord Jesus. Say it again. Say, Lord Jesus. I know I'm a sinner, and my sins have separated me from you. I feel a distance between you and I, And I know it's because of my sins. So Lord Jesus, please come into my heart. Forgive my sins, Lord. Let your blood wash me. Let your blood cleanse me. And make me a child of God. Oh Jesus, please write my name in your book of life. Add my name. My name is, and mention your name. Say it again. Say, my name is Joel. Please write this name in your book of life. Add my name to your children's names. Thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. I am saved. I am born again. I am a new man. I will never again be the same. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. And everybody says, amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. My soul says yes. Everybody sing, I love you. Come on. I love you. I love you. From the bottom of my heart to the depths. I love you. I really do. I really do. My soul. Come on, sing it one last time. I love you. I love you. I love you. The bottom of my heart to the depths of my soul. I love you. I really do. My soul says yes. Hallelujah. Well, time to come to the Lord's table. Have communion, and so can you bring communion round for everybody so we can share the communion? Let's have it. Do we have the prophet leading us in communion today? Perfect. I really do hold my soul says yes. Oh yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, from the bottom of my heart, from the bottom of my heart, to the depth. First Love Center, and we're going to join the prophet as he leads us in communion this morning or afternoon, and as he prays for us. Amen. Who prays for you is very important. Amen. So let's pray that this blessing that he's about to speak will settle upon us and rest upon our lives. Say amen. Let's go over.
Take your lift, stand to your feet, lift your Holy Communion. Father, thank you for this great healing, great blessing you give to us today as we partake of the Holy Communion. May salvation, healing, and power come into our lives.
Yes.
We receive your mercy. We receive healing for our bodies. Yes. Right now. The body of Jesus Christ.
The body of Jesus Christ.
Now lift up the Holy Communion. May all mistakes, all sins, yes, the sins of lust and the sins of pride,
yes,
be washed away,
yes,
through this holy blood.
Yes.
The blood of Jesus Christ.
The blood of Jesus Christ.
Lift your hands for your blessing. May the Lord make his face shine on you.
Yes.
May the Lord answer all your questions in your life.
Amen.
May the Lord heal you of everything that is hurtful and painful.
Yes.
May the Lord give you stability in your mind, in your heart,
yes,
and your soul.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus Christ, Savior of the world. May the peace of God, which passes understanding, rest in your life, now and always. Be delivered from any demon that is in your house, your dwelling place. Whatever is a cat or a dog spirit.
Jesus.
Bible says outside are dogs. Any dog spirit, cat spirit, or entity that moves in your home,
yes,
I bind it in the name of
in
Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Be free from the presence of shadows,
yes,
fleeting shadows, darkness, negative spirits, familiar spirits. In Jesus' name, I banish them from your house.
Banish them in the name of Jesus.
In the mighty name of Jesus. Be blessed.
Yes.
Be healed. Be delivered.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are delivered from anything that is hurtful. Amen. And every devil in our homes is banished in the name of Jesus Christ. Say amen. Hallelujah. Now you may be seated.